Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We are the Hairy Bikers. I'm Si.
No kidding. And I'm Dave. And just before we become the Agony Uncles, we're going to give you a little bit of help in the kitchen.
Yes, we're going to tell you all about Meat Air. That's meat with ER on the end. If you've not heard of Meat Air, it's a wireless meat thermometer. So you stick it in your roast or whatever else you want to stick it in and use the app to see how it's cooking and doing.
It's great because you can see the meat temperature on your phone, exactly the temperature while it's cooking. So you're leaving nothing to chance. And it's not just for the oven. It works on the barbecue, frying pan, even an air fryer. Basically, if you use Meat Air, you have the confidence to cook like a pro. And it actually even measures the temperature while the meat is resting. So, you know, you can gauge everything absolutely properly. And I like things done properly.
Yes, indeed. Yes. So Meat Air is great. And as they're sponsoring the Agony Uncles podcast, we've done you a favour because as one of our listeners, you get a meter for 20% off. It's an exclusive offer to the Agony that are the Uncles listeners.
It's easy to get your 20% off. Just go to meter.com, which is spelt M-E-A-T-E-R, and use the code HAIRY20. That's HAIRY20 to get 20% off anything in the meter range. That's a belting offer.
Right, let's get on with the Agony Uncles, sponsored by Meter, helping you to eat better forever. Today's prince of your problems is Jeevesy, as always. Hello, Jeevesy.
Hello, hello, everybody. Lovely to see you all. I'll explain today we are, none of us are together. We're all in different parts of the country, although Si is in a different country, and the country seems to have some church bells in the background every often so often. So if we hear those, that's Si peeling, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I am. I'm, and I can't do anything about it. I'm very sorry.
No, they're very pleasant, actually. And we've had lots of contact from listeners who also don't take their reading glasses to restaurants and have misread the prices of wine this week. You'll be pleased to know. So you're not alone with your £700 $700 bottle of wine. It's happened to others too.
God, I'm pleased to hear that. I think that's why the lights are low in most of these restaurants. I'm sure of it.
And to help us wade through your worries, it's the woman. Well, she makes Lady Mary from Downton Abbey, well, look like Doc Cotton with 20 Embassy. It's Posh Tash.
Hello,
darling.
That's my favourite one. I'm just going to pre-warn you with the pealing bells of Si. I've just had a flash up. Definitely the Agony Uncles podcast. My computer screen just said, warning, you are unstable. So I think it means my connection, not me personally, just to warn everybody.
It's those bloody glasses. They're unstable.
Yeah, Tash is wearing a pair of glasses. How would you describe them? They're like sort of horizontal black and white lines.
Yeah, my husband, actually, when he saw a photo of me in them, then followed the text message photo back with a picture of a zebra with his tongue sticking out and a pair of glasses on. So they're my zebra glasses, yeah. I can't find another one.
Nice. Hey, well, look, my hair's growing. Look. I keep stroking myself. It's like fondling a mole's armpit because it's baby hair. Do you know what I mean? Still doing the chemo, but...
Lil keeps stroking it.
Nah, the bloody dog keeps licking it.
Well, as long as Lil's not licking it, you're all right.
Okay.
Yes.
Hit the jingle button, dude.
Okay, bingle-dee-bing-dee-boo. Boo.
Hello, hairy bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy Jack and Ori? Because I heard your advice is the best.
In today's pile of problems, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, you're going to be doling out your decisions on these woes and worries. We have missing proper pies. We have an extra child. We have the wedding is too expensive. And we have the worst present ever. But we're going to start with missing proper pies. And this email that we had comes in from Keith, who said, "Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, I'm a lover of pies, but I'm in despair at how few pie places are left who actually make what I consider to be a proper pie, i.e. one with pastry at the bottom as well as the top. So many pubs and restaurants now offer your pie of the day, but in reality it's a bowl of something with a bit of pastry chucked on the top of it. What is that about?" asks Keith. "A good old-fashioned traditional pie needs to be pastry top and bottom. Who started this madness? And my question to you is, what do I have to ask or look out for on a menu to get me a proper pie?" Says Keith, over to you.
Keith, you're not looking properly. There's plenty of fine pie around now. And I agree. What was it we said once, Kingy? A pie has to have pastry. It's a vessel to propel the contents to your mouth.
Yes.
And no, you can get some superb pies around. Just ask. Just say, you know, is it like a casserole with a lid on? Or is it a pie? It's no mystery to it, but there are some fine pies around.
What's a pot pie?
What?
Sorry, what's a pot pie? What would that come with? Someone's like, what? People say, have a pot pie. That for me is pastry on the bottom, pastry on the top.
Yeah, maybe that's a southern thing.
Oh,
no, pot pies, I would say it's a pot with a bit of pastry on the top.
Oh,
yeah. I'm with Dave on that, you see, because that's what I would tell our lovely listener to look out for. If it's a pot pie, you're going to get shortchanged on the pastry front.
Oh, okay.
See what I mean? And also, sometimes they go steak and ale. And if they go steak and ale, fundamentally, that is a steak and ale stew with pastry on the top. And normally it's puff pastry, and that irritates the living daylights out of us, generally.
Yeah, but what I like sometimes, when you take the craft of pie making, I love a short crust bottom and a puff top.
Yeah, now that's class.
That's
now,
class.
Yeah. I mean, that's worth paying more than £8 for. You know, that's class.
What? Why is that special?
Because it's a class of textures, Tash.
Oh, I see.
It's classy. You know, you've got the best of both worlds. Sometimes you like a bit of rough puff. Other times you want a crumbly short crust. Why not live the dream and have them both?
Exactly.
Now you put it like that.
Yeah, you see. And you can blind bake one so it doesn't go soggy.
Yes.
So it's all classy, you see.
No soggy bottoms in our house.
Hell no.
No.
And if there
no.
was, we never talk about it.
No, it's that. If we get soggy bottom, it's down to the gym. Boom. Do you know, I've got near where I live now, I have found possibly another perfect, you know, like the plate pies me and Kingy go on about from the northern days. These are pies that are the same as a plate pie, but they are cooked in a tin. Anyway, it's a place, and I'll give a point, it's called Paul Shum, and it's like he's a butcher, but his pies epic. The pastry is epic. And I found his secret weapon. You're like Massimo Bottura, the Italian chef. He has this lady of a certain age in the back that does his pasta. Paul has a lady in a shed, or rather a room, a kitchen, so we say, not a shed, at the back, who makes his pies. And I said, Paul, I said, those pies are epic. I said, the pastry, it's like proper. And he went, do you want to meet the secret? And I thought, I said, do you buy them in? And he's got this lady of a certain age who lives in the back, and she makes the pies. And of course, the secret is lard. Obviously, not in the vegetarian ones, but she does a proper old-fashioned lard short crust pastry.
Perfect.
And as Kingy would say, she has pastry hands. She's maybe doing 200 of these a week. She makes the pork pies as well, which are sublime. But they are out there all over the country. Should you got to look for it, though, and find... But, you know, you have to keep an elderly person captive, really, in the back of the butchers.
Is that
legal?
I'm
going to steal you both and keep you in a cupboard.
I hope it's a bloody big cupboard, I tell you this.
No, I did say that when I'm feeling better, would you take me in for a day on pastry duty? Because it's that good, you know? And then I don't know, a lot of bakers who bake their own pies are really still really, really good. You know, and to be fair, who doesn't love a Greggs now and again?
Well, it's a craft pie making. Mm. It's not just exactly, which is the frustration, slapping puff pastry on a stew. Oh, no, it's a proper craft because there's so many different types of pastry, you know, hand-risen pastry for pork pie. I mean, it's endless. You know, hot, cold water pastry, hot water pastry, you name it, it's a pastry. It's a, you know, it's worthy of annals of work.
But you see, sometimes something that's like really off the scale and shouldn't be good has a certain charm, like the Freventus pies that you cook in the tin. So, you know, you unscrew the tin top, yeah, put it in the oven, and that's like meat. And it's got puff pastry on the top. But that has an incredible kind of pharmacy quality, whereby that the top rises about a centimetre and a half, but the bottom bit is still soggy. But there is something really, really nice about it, you know?
Do you guys hate the fact that I potentially buy ready-made pastry? Is that sacrilege?
No, it's good pastry.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not matter with that.
Because I do that. Because I actually, and I sometimes buy ready-made pies for my family, which I know is naughty, but for speed I do. But I hate the fact you get no filling in it. You can only get decent filling if you make it yourself, I decided. Nowhere there's enough filling.
Now you see, it's because you live in the South. That's why, you know, you skimp on Southern, you know, Southern fillings are skimpy.
Yeah, it's like pork pies as well. I love a pork pie, but what I hate is like a supermarket pork pie. Why are they pink? Why do they look like somebody's insides? Pork isn't pink. It should be like pork coloured, like slightly grey, I suppose. Doesn't sound so appetising, but you know, not pink and pink.
Do you think they colour it then? They do that for appetising look.
Well, they must do. Pork isn't pink, is it? It's not rosy pink.
No. I never thought of that. I just thought pork pies always were pink.
No. A good pork pie, it's like pork mince, because it's slightly grey. But then you get the spicing in. Remember when we made them in Doncaster Market, Kingy? Our hand-raised pork pie.
I was just thinking about that, yeah. Epic.
Hot water pastry, and we used the dolly to raise the pastry,
yeah.
Then the filling. Then we did cow heel jelly we poured in to set around the shoulder of the interior of the pie. It's a technical term, the shoulder. And they were unbelievably good. And we could get the spicing to suit us. It was a bit peppery, wasn't it, ours?
It was lovely. Do you know what?
Now.
You know those dollies that were got broken? Mm. Remember them? And then we went through a period of every dodgy place, every dodgy market we went to, we bought this, like, there's a pork pie dolly!
Yeah, I love them.
My younger son, Dil's, just moved back into the lodge with us, and it's hilarious because I was thinking, where's my dolly's gone? And I was looking through one. Where's my dolly gone? Where's my pork pie dolly gone? And he'd nicked them, hadn't he? So I went, you thieving little toad. You've got all me pork pie. He said, well, you weren't using them, Dad. You were never here. And I said, well, yeah, that's fair enough.
if you've just tuned in, you need to, you know, need to clarify the fact that we're not talking Barbie and Cindy here in terms of dollies. It's in fact is a wooden device that's kind of plug shaped that you form the paste around for your porker. It's not, in fact, you know, tiny tears that wets itself.
No, definitely not that.
Not for this conversation, anyway.
Who knew?
So, in short, listener, yes, beware. Go with caution.
They are out there. They are out there to be bought.
Food makes everything better.
Our next problem is called The Missing Child, and for this we need three names. Sorry, Tash, you're going to be called on a couple of times. Give you some warning here. We need two male names, so one each from Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, and one female name from you, Tash, please.
Alice.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so we've got Alice.
Ronnie,
and...
Gary.
All right. This comes in from Alice. Alice has written, Dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, I've been going out with Ronnie for about 3 months now. After a number of relationships that A, weren't very good, and B, didn't last very long, I thought I'd found a real good 'un in our Ronnie. I'm 53, he's 56. From the outset, he's told me about his two children, who I got to meet just last weekend. They're both lovely, 20 and 26 years old, and we got on well. But during the course of the conversation, and while Ronnie was at the bar, they mentioned Gary, their half-brother. They chatted about him, and I played along. But Ronnie has made no mention of Gary. I'm guessing it could be his ex-wife's child, but then it might be his too. But I don't know how to go about finding out. Why would he tell me about two of his children, but not the third? Is this a warning sign? I'm really in a quandary. Any advice? Alice, over to you.
Just ask him.
I was just about to say the same. What it's called is a question. And what you do is you go, excuse me, you know, I was out for a drink with the kids the other night, and they said, while you were at the bar, they had mentioned this other name of the child that you've not mentioned yet. What's the crack there? So, I mean, you know, you can dress it up a bit.
Does Gary mean anything to you? That's all you want to say.
No.
You know, is he close to you? They might be estranged from each other and not get on, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, she seems to be reading into it. There can't be any secret because they wouldn't mention it if it was such a massive secret. You know, I mean, it's just she's looking for a problem. There isn't a problem there. Ask the question.
There's not a problem. Yeah, ask the question. I mean, he could be working in Dubai or I don't know. I mean,
prison. Could be in prison.
Could be in prison.
Could be a cat.
Could be a cat, yeah. Unlikely, like Tash, but, you know, could be.
See, I had a half-brother that I never really knew called Kenneth. But because Kenneth was so much older than me, because my dad had me when he was old and he had Kenneth when he was very young. And for some reason, I never found out they fell out. And so, you know, whilst I had a brother, I've never grown up feeling I had a brother. You know, I knew Kenneth was there three streets away, but, you know, it didn't mean much, really. And obviously, Kenneth and my dad had parted ways. Didn't mean much to each other, really. Just to ask about Gazza.
You never meet him, Dave?
Yeah, I met him. He was fine. I'd go around then, I'd bait an eggs now and again. But he really wasn't like, I never saw him as a brother. Apart from the fact he had children who were older than me.
It's a bit of a weird one, that, isn't it? It's
like, my dad was fertile, I tell you. He was a cracker. I think you just need to open communication, don't you? Just ask. Clear the air. You know,
Carries
my son.
Otherwise, she'll make it up in her head and it'll become something massive and she'll imagine it and then there'll be problems without problems. And, yeah, it seems a no-brainer.
Maybe this lady needs to go and talk to somebody about her neuroses, because there's definitely something going on there. I'm just saying, I don't mean to be rude, but I you know, also, I guess it depends how long. Does she say how long she's known this man with the missing child?
3 months.
Early days.
That's quite early.
No, I think you would tell about your offspring, though, isn't it? It's one of the first things you do.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just interesting, isn't it? Because one's narrative when you're in a relationship is you know, that's how we tell stories about ourselves, so people get to know us quicker. That's how it works.
Yeah, so, and I think you create the narrative because you don't want to put them off. So maybe Gary is the bigger conversation. And in 3 months, they might have only seen each other a handful of times, depending on their availabilities. And so maybe that just hasn't been the conversation of, by the way, there's somebody else. I mean,
because 3 months, as you say, is pretty early, isn't it? Yeah.
But then maybe he's thinking that if he doesn't get on with Gary and they've parted ways donkeys years ago, that it's irrelevant to the relationship.
Yeah.
But then it's just a conversation, isn't it, really?
If you got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the agony uncles a line.
Our next problem is called The Wedding is Too Expensive. And for this, I do need a lady's name. So, Tash, it's time to ask for you for lady's name number two. Go on.
I was going to say Cruella, but I can't say that. Christine.
Christine. Cruella. Although you have got the black and white glasses on, so actually you're a bit Cruella de Vil, aren't
you? Maybe
that was it. Yeah, that could have been the best. Maybe you're in a Dalmatian.
You are.
You've got a spotty curtain behind you.
Yeah, you have.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
My Joseph coat. There you go. Maybe I am Cruella.
Have you got, like, Dalmatians in your cellar? Tell us. This is it. Right.
No.
Christine. Christine has written in, Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, I'm due to get married in June next year, but I've put a spanner in the works. My husband-to-be is 26 and lovely, but not really very interested or aware of money. He grew up in a pretty well-off household and hasn't wanted for anything. Even now, though he works, he still has a credit card that his dad gives him that pretty much he uses for everything and allows him to do pretty much what he likes and have the flash car, etc., etc. He says his family are also pretty traditional, however, so the cost of the wedding is expected to fall to my parents, who aren't that well off. They work hard and they want to give me a great wedding, but things have got a little bit out of hand. My fiancé keeps bringing home ideas of all kind of fancy things that he'd like for the wedding. For example, he wanted 5 matching white Bentleys for me, my bridesmaids and family. Just these on their own would be about £2,000. And then there's the music. He found out he could hire a big-name DJ for the night, but that was £10,000 on his own. Now that the energy bills have gone mad, any extra money my mum and dad did have has been swallowed up. So last week I said that we need to put things into a bit of perspective and put a limit on the wedding costs, or that his parents need to start to pay for some of the fancy things that he wants. But this didn't go down well and has caused a bit of a rift. He won't speak to his parents about it as he thinks it would be embarrassing. So I'm thinking of talking to them behind his back. Should I, or is there another way around this? Asks Christine. Over to you.
I've got an opinion. Am I allowed to say it already? I personally think that she needs to sit down with her husband to be and go, what is the most important thing about this now? Is this about 5 white Bentleys or is this about you and I? Because yes, we all like to have a wonderful day, but realistically, this is about the two of them. And if they're going to have this, he sounds like he's mummy's boy, daddy's boy. She needs to bring it back in line just to check she's marrying the right guy here and say, is this about you and I, or this is about looking flash and looking expensive and showing off to our friends? Because that's not what the day is about for me. So I think she stops first and talks to him.
Yes. And also, it's also about what they, as you say, what they both want. But if daddy's giving him a credit card, then maybe what he should do is just understand that one half of the family, because there will be families eventually, the one half of the family haven't got the money that the other half has. So why is he being so unempathetic?
Yeah.
To actually go, oh, well, hold on, listen, I know your mum and dad haven't got much dosh, and I know they're under pressure. So what's the, you know, let's just, you know, coming back, it's completely wrong to go, let's have 5 white Bentleys. Well, hold on, me mum and dad live up and two down or whatever they live in. I have a credit card from my mum and dad? No.
It sounds like they're on a rocky start, to be fair.
Yeah,
it does. Because, what you have to respect both families. It's simple, you know, if the 5 white Bentleys, you have to run it by everybody. And I think the ones that can afford it should say, what do you reckon? Is it a good idea? And would you mind?
Yeah.
And again, it's communication, because you might think, no, it's just going to look stupid. And they have to have the courage to say that. But let alone the costs, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it has to be something that suits everybody, including the couple. And I think if it gets too ridiculous, that's when the couple end up legging it, or should end up legging it, and just getting married somewhere quiet, and then everybody has to fit in with it.
Yeah, exactly. And he sounds, I mean, forgive me, I don't know this lad from Adam, but he sounds like a bit of a spoiled brat.
Yeah,
how can you not take into consideration your wife and your wife to be and the money that the family has. You kind of just
and your future wife's parents
and your future, exactly. They're going to be your mother and your mother and father-in-law. I mean,
it sounds like he hasn't cut his umbilical cord from his family, or whether that umbilical cord is just full of money. I'm not sure whether it's emotional or not, but he just needs to realize he's starting a new life. He's chosen a new family. He doesn't mean he has to give up his mother and father, but he has to realize he has to stand on his own 2 feet and become a partnership with somebody else who have their own finances and their own future.
Yeah, but on the other hand, maybe that's the way his family works. And if they do, they like to spoil their son and he likes to get all those goodies, that's fine by them. You know, but the other family haven't. But there again, you have to kind of reach something that suits everybody. And if necessary, you know, chop your Bentleys out, you know, and also as well, it's such a waste of blooming money in these times, isn't it?
But if the family, his family, were willing to pay for it, I understand, because that's a part they'd like to give as a present. You know, I'd love to be able to pay for you to have your 5 Bentleys, to have your wonderful day. And so I suppose she's in this predicament. Her husband-to-be doesn't want to have that conversation. But I wonder whether the parents possibly wouldn't mind. They would quite like it, and they maybe would pay for it. They seem fairly relaxed with their cash. So her approaching the parents on her own behind the back, I think that's a tricky one, personally.
I don't think she should.
No,
because I think she comes to that conversation with him.
What about her parents? Because if they go down that route, they're going to feel like the poor relations.
Yeah.
And to be fair, there has to be, you know, it's a future union, isn't it? It's a union, a marriage.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's not. Yeah, it just doesn't feel, and you know, they're missing the point. She's then missing the point because she's letting him off the hook. It's all, you know, she's reinforcing that umbilical cord, if you like, by, oh God, well, he's hopeless. I'll go and talk to his mom and dad. Well, that's no, you're just about to spend a life together, and life in the modern world's challenging enough. And if you're having to go and refer to his mom and dad because numbnuts with the credit card is like, well, let's have five Bentleys and a DJ for 10 grand. Is he mental? Mm. How is a family? I mean, he must have been to the house. He must have been to the home. He must have met them. He must have had conversations with them. How can you just be that high-handed to go, that's rubbish?
Well, it's interesting having this dynamic this way around, because often, you know, the women get called bridezillas because they get a bit over the top. I want the big dress. I want the big, you know, and I've never heard of a groomzilla, I have to say. So, I mean, maybe they are out there. Usually the men.
It's just all about money, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And there's ways of doing it. If one side have got loaded, the other side aren't. And if it's the, you know, traditionally the bride's family pay for the wedding. You know, again, it's communication. You just need to say, look, can we chip in a bit? And then find out what everybody wants. Get around a table together, find something that suits everybody. Maybe you get two Bentleys, you know, for the immediate family and the bride and groom. But, you know, that's the way around it. So everybody gets what they want. But don't, whatever you do, make her side of the family feel like the poor relations, because you are one family now.
Exactly. And we had a family wedding in Italy not so long ago. And Alex's side of the family, my son, we all chipped in, but as did Lawrence. You know, we all kind of just went, okay, well, this is, and it didn't even really take that big of a conversation. It was just like, well, you know,
smashing,
you know, we'll all chip in, you know, we'll do the bits that we can do, and I'll do the bits that I can do, and just play to each other's strengths. And it was just lovely. And it also makes the day feel like everybody's contributed, because everybody did. And it was just lovely. It was a lovely, lovely week.
Yeah, maybe she should say, look, with her parents and him sitting there, this is what we can afford to have. This is my parents' very kind, generous offer. And with that money, we can have one Bentley, the dress, the flowers we want, the food we want, and anything over and above that, we've got to source elsewhere.
Or they've got to pay for themselves.
For themselves, yeah. But then they have that discussion of where does that money come from? And he has to realise they either have it, they haven't, or he talks to his parents and they come around to the idea. But I think it's, as you say, Dave, it's all about the communication. You've got to sit and talk it through.
Well, if you're down, now don't get drunk, just send an email to the Agony Uncles.
Okay, it's time to head to Confidential Corner. For this, I need a 40-year-old disappointed lady's name. Uncle Si, would you provide this, please? I don't want to put too much on it, but, you know, 40-year-old disappointed lady.
You must know many.
Veronica.
Oh, Veronica does sound disappointing, doesn't she? Dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, says Veronica, I think I've been bought the worst 40th birthday present ever, but I just want to check. My husband has a history of buying me terrible presents. In the past, I've had a blouse suitable for my grandma that also didn't fit. I've had a socket set, a space hopper, possibly his finest moment, a complete DVD box set of the Carry On films. You see, I don't ask much, but I would like something nice for my 40th birthday. I am an amateur archaeologist, and one thing we had discussed was us going to Rome to see the Roman ruins, something I've always wanted to do. So what did I get? Well, it was a big and very heavy wooden box. In it were a large collection of stones. Not tickets to Rome, just rocks and stones. As I stared at him, he explained he had taken detours through the course of his work and collected rocks from beaches all over the UK, so I could sit there in the comfort of my own home and investigate them. I explained that I think he got archaeology mixed up with geology. I then went to the pub. Please confirm that my box of rubble is indeed the worst present ever, asked Veronica. Over to you.
I love this.
Oh, possibly not the worst present ever, but it's a stinker.
He's tried. I've got some stories on worst presents. My husband's not great. Actually, my 40th, I still haven't got, and I'm well past 40.
I didn't realise you were 40 at all.
No, I told
the nation.
I'm 21st. But I have to say, rubble, that's bad. I want to be nice, though, to think he thought about it and he travelled around the country picking up the rocks and... It's a bad present. It's a really
he
bad
says
present.
He has. He could have just gone down the local tip and had a, oh, bollocks, I'll have this.
Do I make him feel better? One of my worst ones from my husband, I've had two corkers. He's not great at them. When I was dating him, I had an inflatable pair of plastic slippers. That was bad. That's really bad.
Any context or just an inflatable?
No, just inflatable slippers. Inflatable plastic slippers. You don't even wear them. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then I still married him. And then I got a bag at Christmas, a bag with a sports bag, a trendy one. And then inside it was a pound coin. And he said, there's the gym bag and there's the pound coin to get to the gym, on the bus. And that was
wow.
it.
Wow.
That was a low moment for me.
Well, how does that fit in with your posh persona?
I know. Well,
how come you're still married? You just get pregnant and have to.
I know, for the kids. They stay for the kids. They do.
Oh, my neck.
So I would take some rubble because I think he thought about it. It wasn't offensive, but he got it wrong.
Oh, no, I'd throw the rocks at him.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, to be fair. Yeah, I'd be like, hold on. It would be okay if he'd had enough interest to know the difference between archaeology and geology, but he hadn't even got that right, the turnip. So, the bloke's a dork.
Yeah, but even geology would want to go to a specialist shop and get specimens of rarely achievable rocks.
Exactly.
Not just, you know, like I've been on the beach and had a scavenge. Oh, dear, no.
Dear me,
no.
Also, 40th, you do want to do something special. I mean, it is a milestone there. And you can't just have a box of rocks to look at home. You go and do something nice. You really
It doesn't have to be about money either.
No, it doesn't.
You know, it's just that thought.
Well, it's that experience together as well, isn't it? You know, it's just having the experience.
I mean, he could have just cooked a meal, like you say, Si. Have an experience. He could have cooked a beautiful Italian meal. Sorry, I can't take you to Rome. Sorry, I can't see the ruins. But why don't we have a lovely meal at home together and pretend we're there? He could have just created an experience if he hasn't got the money.
Yeah, but she probably knows they have got the money because they're a couple and she, you know, they're quite prepared to go to Rome.
True.
In that case, you suck it up and go to Rome, which isn't a bad option, really, in life. No, I think that thing is, if you do get a stinker present, if it's from one's partner and one's beloved, you go, are you sure? Is that it? But, you know, that's different. But if it comes from somebody that's a bit further away, then you suck it up. Do you know what I mean? If it doesn't matter. Everybody's had those sweaters at Christmas that you have to wear for a while. And, you know, which is fair enough. You know, you stretch your stripy jumper, you put it on and suck it up for 2 days and then it's in the bin. You know, and I think there is something there that you have to do for people. But your big ones like that, no. You have to work on it.
They're milestones, aren't they? 40's a milestone, and particularly for particularly in a partnership, you know, they're big occasions, you know.
I'd love her to write back in and tell us what she actually said to him and what she's done about it. Because I think, rightfully, she should have said something, and this isn't fair. You know, I'd love to know what she said.
Sounds like the bloody Flintstones, not a family.
The start of the Pebble Dash on the front.
Kingy, what's the worst present you've ever had?
It was from Jane's grandmother, my ex-wife's granny, Ruth, and she made us this jumper, and I loved the colour of it. It was a great colour, but I couldn't get my head through it. And then when I did manage to, and I had to cut a little bit to literally get my head through, and then it was literally like this, and I was totally down first of the day, but then I couldn't get my fists through the sleeves, so I did exactly the same thing that I did with the neck, and I just looked like I don't know. I mean, I'm rotund. So the shape of it and cut of it, and then she'd put the strap on the bottom, a knitted strap around the bottom. And I had to do the same with that because I couldn't get it over my belly. And then I did get it over my belly and it just kind of frayed. It was the worst thing I've ever worn, but I wore it for literally a week. Oh. And Jane's going, take that bloody thing off. And I'm saying, well, we're going to your grandmother's. She's going, oh, God. She says, don't go. And then the worst thing was Jack, who was Jane's granddad, who was chairman of Swarwell Club, went, right, how is someone go for a pint? I was like, you've got to be...
No!
Oh, man. So, yeah, well, that was... What about you, Dave? What's yours?
One Christmas, there was some aftershave called Playboy. And I was just spraying myself from head to foot and woo! You know, I certainly smelt like a Playboy. But it has to be done, but it's different. You know, like I know, like, I got to admit for the big birthdays and that, you know, and the one for people close to you, so close to you, you really have to think and do something caring. It doesn't end if you're skint, you know, it's just a bit of time really and a bit of care taken. Not a box of bloody rocks.
No, that's crap.
It is, isn't it? I'd always rather get nothing than a box of rocks.
Well, yeah. I think, Veronica, we can give you some good news, is that we don't think it's the worst present ever. It's on a par with Tash's plastic slippers, probably. So we can probably kind of, you know, you come equal first, if that's any help to you at all.
If that's any comfort. Also, but actually, to be fair, it was your 40th birthday, so I think it's a pile of shit.
Yes,
yeah, I agree.
I think it's absolute crap.
And mine was meant to be a joke.
I think your bloke needs the good bloody slap.
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for listening to us on the Agony Uncles podcast, which, guess what, is sponsored today by Meter.
Now, if you've not heard of Meter, it's a wireless meat thermometer. So you stick it in the roast, then you use a Meter app to see how it's doing.
And it works not just in the oven, it works on barbecues and the frying pan, even an air fryer. So basically, if you use Meter, you'll have the confidence to cook like a pro.
Or Hannibal Lecter.
Or Hannibal Lecter.
Yes. But whether you're Hannibal Lecter or Fanny Craddock, it'll be cooked to perfection. Now, Meter is great, and as they're sponsoring the Agony Uncles podcast, they've done you a favour, because as one of our listeners, you can get a Meter for 20% off. It's an exclusive offer for Agony Uncles listeners. That's 20% off.
Your Meter, which is good. So it's easy to get your 20% off. Just go to meter.com, that's meter.com, which is spelled M-E-A-T-E-R, and use the happy, happy, hairy code, HAIRY20, to get 20% off anything in the Meter range.
It's great that Meter are working with us, because we genuinely do love their products. So go and have a look at their shop online and use HAIRY20 to get that lovely money off.
There'll be a new episode of the Agony Uncles every Friday, so remember to subscribe, hit the subscribe button, you lovely humans, so it keeps Dave and I in meat. So, to make sure, and so you don't miss a single one. That's fundamentally what we're asking you to do.
Yes, please help.
Help.
So, from Posh Tash.
Bye.
The Thin White Duke.
Goodbye.
And from the two of us, goodbye.